What do you do when you're asked that dreaded question? Tell me about yourself. Why should you be pitching the room and not the job? What do you need to have prepared when you go in to pitch? How many projects should you have in your back pocket when you're in the room? We're going to get into all that and more in this episode of Pitching Yourself, Pitching Your Film with producer Stu Pollard.
This is the Working Director Podcast, show that helps you go from emerging filmmaker to working director. As a filmmaker living in Los Angeles, I've directed over 130 projects, including 6 distributed feature films, all while helping filmmakers figure out how to level up in their careers. I do this show with one goal in mind, to help you become a working director. And if you want to join us for the live Q&A sessions and ask all of your questions, make sure you join our free private Facebook group by going to theworkingdirector.pro.
I want to just go right in with, what should directors be considering when pitching themselves for gigs?
You know, every situation is probably a little bit different, and chances are you won't be in a position to pitch yourself for a gig if they don't already know a little bit about you. But I do think, in sort of the general sense, when you're pitching yourself, there's sort of 3 elements to keep in mind, and I try to come up with some way to make it memorable, and that's preparation, presentation, and execution. So all words that end in T-I-O-N. But preparation is means doing a little bit, but maybe not a ton of rehearsal. You want to know your stuff backwards and forwards, but you don't want it to sound like it's canned, and you don't want to fall into a performance of any kind. So, but you do really want to know what the hell you're talking about. And that's going to include doing some research on who you're pitching to. So just knowing, and this is where I'll probably slip into a little bit of, you know, I'm not going to advocate like internet stalking per se, but it's like, if somebody has a LinkedIn page that you're pitching, or their company has a website, it's like, do at least the minimal amount of poking around to see if you can find some common ground with whoever you're in a room with, whether it's one person or a group of people. Because I think the nice thing about any meeting is, and this is the way I talk about when we're pitching investors too, which I know we'll talk about a little bit, but oftentimes a good first pitch, a good meeting, will be because there's a connection between you and whoever you're pitching personally, not just that they're wild about the project that you're trying to pitch. And oftentimes, this is what happened with Jen on Rush Creek years ago, is like, we first met Jen when she was pitching a different project to us, but we really liked her. We didn't respond to the material as much. And that's how she came around, ended up being someone we reached out to here if she wanted to take a look at that script.
I love to remind everybody that what you just pointed out was that you're not always pitching a project. You're pitching the room. You're pitching the audience. You're pitching the producers, because that has happened to me plenty as well, where like I didn't get one job, but then they call me months or years later for another job. So never burn a bridge. Always be your best self. I want to do a little bit more on pitching yourself, and then we're going to really dive into pitching your film. One of the things that's the most dreaded for those of us who are in the room is getting asked, tell me about yourself. How do you recommend we respond to that super crazy open-ended question?
Well, again, I would try to make it personal. So one of the things I talk a lot about in my financing classes is, because people are always like, where the heck do I find these people who are going to invest? And it's like, it starts sort of by looking inward. So when you get asked to talk about yourself, I don't think it should just be, oh, I've wanted to make movies since I was 2 years old, and I directed all these shorts, and then I went to film school, or I worked my way up through being a PA, or whatever route you took, and then I've worked on these films and had these amazing experiences. You can certainly weave that in, but again, presumably they know all that about you because that's what got you in the room in the first place. So I think find some things that make you unique, everything from where you're from to what you like to do when you're not working, how you like to run a set, but also just things that might suggest what kind of person you are to work with, right? So it could be maybe what goes into how you hire people, or who gave you a first opportunity, why mentorship is important to you. So anyway, so I would try to weave some of those things in. I don't think levity is a bad idea either. Obviously, you'll need to read the room, and you have to have a sense of humor in most cases in order to conjure up a laugh from somebody. But I think you want to keep it loose. You want to be gregarious, and you also want to give some of it back too. Like, you want to keep your audience engaged. It shouldn't just be the you show. So if you find a point of connection, like, hey, I'm from Kentucky, and for, you know, sort of since I was an adult, bourbon has been a part of my life, not in a crazy way, but just, it's just something the process has fascinated me. That may create a point of connection, because that's what a lot of people associate with Kentucky these days. Something that starts a conversation that won't get you off track, but at least establishes a point of connection.
Yeah, I did an interesting exercise this past weekend on the Happier in Hollywood retreat, where we had a list 12 interesting things about ourselves that couldn't be business related necessarily. It's not about how I was as a director. And I got to like number 5, and I was like, that's it. There's nothing else interesting. But then as other people were talking, I was like, oh, I have something like that. Oh, and I have like 19 now. So, but the point is, just to back up what you're saying, is one, obviously, especially if there's like, there's bourbon on someone's desk, that's a great way to lead in. Or like, you know, there's a kid's drawing. It's like, oh, did your kid do that? My kid does horrible drawings, whatever it is, to start conversation. But to have those weird, random things, the 12 things about you or more, the reason to write them down and think about it is because when you get in the room, you forget. You forget that you're an interesting human because of nerves or whatever. I'm going to have these written out. And then before each meeting, really kind of think about which ones I want to weave in if it becomes necessary. I love this. Okay, let us talk about pitching your film. It's all kind of the same. It's all kind of tied together, obviously. One, we try to put the focus on the film versus ourselves. But let's start with some of the things you teach at Lunacy U, which is what should someone even have in place before they even go out to pitch their film?
I think, again, it depends on who the audience is. So if we're talking about going out and meeting with individual investors and you're sort of playing a producer at that point, that's a different tack. And that's a lot of what the financing class is about, where it's just like you're tired of waiting for somebody else to greenlight you. So you are literally going to go make your own luck. And if you're pitching an investor, for example, who has never invested in a film before, that's going to be a different set of resources than going in and talking to a production company that's got a pretty healthy slate of past.
Let's assume, for the sake of this conversation, because I know there's like such a slew, it's like, let's assume it a filmmaker who's, you know, acting as a producer and they want to get money for their project because they want to go out and direct it themselves. So what would you recommend they have ready before they even try to make meetings?
Well, I think one important distinction to make is we talk a lot about in my financing class on Lunacy U on the importance of a business plan. And if you are pitching to what I'll call the uninitiated, then it probably is a good idea to have at a minimum a pitch deck and probably a good idea to have a business plan ready to present if you're asked for it. And it's a good chance. There's a good chance if you're pitching someone who has financial resources, but has never invested in a film before, they're going to want to know how you plan to spend the money. In theory, you want to make them curious about the movie making process, and a full-on business plan can do that. If, on the other hand, you are pitching someone who's either an experienced producer or financier, you don't necessarily need to go and do all that heavy lifting because they already know how movies are made and monetized. So I think in that case, you're going to want to have more of a lookbook ready, something that demonstrates your vision for the particular project. Certainly, if you have anyone attached, and by that I don't mean like a famous actor, but if you either have attachments or people that you really, really want to collaborate with who add value to the project, thinking specifically a cinematographer and editor, especially if you're a first-time director at the feature level, bringing those types of people on and showing a deck that includes their biographies and some samples of their work, I think can really make your case that you already are capable of putting a really strong team together and you've already rallied some very experienced and talented people to be on your team. So those are a couple of things I would say. But again, it gets back to every single situation may be different based on who you're actually talking to. And I will say this with regards to money in particular. You got to be very careful about sort of overselling, and especially too early on. So you don't, especially if it's a meeting with an individual who might be writing a check for an independent film, you don't want to make that first meeting, even if it's sort of set up to come tell me about your project, you don't want to make it just about money. Because no one, I don't care what they might say in public, no one wants to be looked at as just a dollar sign. Anyway, so be thinking about that too. Doesn't mean that if you get asked, you shouldn't be prepared to answer. That's that part of that preparation part. But you may end up using a very little amount of what you prepared in the actual meeting.
When I'm going into a meeting and I'm going to pitch this investor person, would you say the big thing that kind of sells investors is the person themselves, their story, their passion for the story? Is there something that kind of stands out whenever you watch pitches?
It's interesting. Somebody put self-esteem in the comments box here. It's like another formula that I sort of keep in the back of my head is confidence is arrogance plus humility. So I think you have to walk into the room knowing that you're the right person for the job, if it's for a particular job, knowing that you have already seen how this is going to end, you're going to win the room over. And you have to walk that line of no one can go out and direct a movie who's not exceptionally confident in their abilities and able to compartmentalize insecurity. We all have it, but you just can't show it all the time, especially when you're leading a team. So that's why I say that you got to be arrogant to a certain degree to even be pursuing this career or be doing this career, but it's going to require somebody else to believe in you, a lot of different people to believe in you. So that's where that humility aspect comes in and ideally pulls back that arrogance to, which can be off-putting, right? You don't want to go in and just be super cocky, pulls that back just a notch so that it comes off as being supremely confident, but also grateful that people are sharing their time and wanting to hear what you have to say about why you're the right person for the project.
I'm assuming you've seen, even if it's just through doing things like this, you've probably seen hundreds of pitches. Is there something that you see people do often that you have to correct?
You know, some of this is for people very new to it, right? So oftentimes where you, it's one thing to have a meeting and somebody comes in, they're a professional, they're prepared and all that. I would say in that scenario, the biggest thing that the biggest mistake I see people make is they don't know how to take notes. One of the things I was going to say with regards to that execution phase when you're in the room is try to engage the other people. Like, it's not, the simplest way to put it is, in a perfect pitch, you are starting sentences and the other person is finishing them. And you're actually, we're going to say the same thing. It doesn't always work out that way, but on occasion, somebody may say, hey, you know, I really, this scene where this happens, I really want, and then the development person, whoever you're pitching, says, oh, is that, you know, where the space aliens come in or something? And you think that that's the worst idea ever, right? It probably sounds like a bad idea. I'm not pitching a very nuanced example here, but in the moment, in the room, your objective is to get the next meeting, not to stand firm and say, space aliens. But no, that's silly. They don't come into the third act. Why would we introduce them earlier? You want to say, like, I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't considered that. That's an interesting idea. Anyway, so you perpetuate the conversation and you make the person that you're talking to feel valued. If you get defensive when someone pitches you a note, it will torpedo the meeting almost immediately. The meeting might go on for another 20 minutes or whatever, but it'll be over in the eyes and the ears of the people that you're pitching to. And that has happened and been very often. But the other thing I would say, and this is much more of an amateur mistake, I think, is just being overly rehearsed. So you get up there and what you say looks eloquent on the page, but you have rehearsed it so much, it just turns into this monologue that you're trying to work your way through. It can also make you painfully nervous going in trying to have memorized something. So that's why I say rehearse to the point where you know what the heck you're going to talk about, but you don't have to have a monologue memorized.
It's not a Shark Tank pitch.
You know, have your log line down, like, and make sure it's a damn good log line. Like I said, just don't overthink it and don't over rehearse, because that's just going to inspire nerves at the end of the day. And again, it will make people feel like they're being talked to as opposed to being discussed with.
And on the log line note, filmmakers, that also goes for when you're pitching yourself. Like, you should have like a personal log line of some sort. That when someone says, well, you know, tell me about yourself, maybe you start with that. Or if you're in an elevator and you have 30 seconds, you can say this. It's something I work with on directors with all the time. George has a great question that comes up a lot. How many projects do you recommend having in your back pocket, specifically if you're asked in a pitch, what else do you have?
On my little preparation notes, George, I literally, this, you probably can't read this, but this literally says always have a backup project or five to pitch. So I don't think there's a magic number. But absolutely, you can't walk into any room as a one idea person. You have to have a couple of different ones. And they shouldn't all be like, if you're going in to pitch a rom-com, there shouldn't be five different ideas in your back pocket for different rom-coms. They should be different types of things. Like, have a thriller. Whatever you think you're good at, like, be able to talk openly about. Because you're exactly right. What you go into pitch could end up not being what you talk about the majority of the meeting. And everyone, even if no one responds to any of your ideas, it's impressive to be able to say, oh, well, you know, I've got an option on this short story that I'm still, you know, noodling on, or I've got the life rights to this person, or I worked with this friend of mine from who wrote my first film. I'm developing a second screenplay with them. Being able to just pull a nice diverse group of stories, I think, always makes you stronger. And again, it might be something that never comes up, but it will make you much more confident knowing that you've got that to draw from when you go in.
Preet asks, is it necessary to join a writer's room in order to pitch my movie or series? So let's talk about who does he need from his side, I guess, to pitch.
I'll try to take a stab at this as well. I agree, there's a lot in there. I will say this much. Part of the reason that independent films exist in the first place is it's easier as an outsider or someone with no experience to come in and make a film happen. They keep getting less expensive to make. Doesn't mean they're necessarily all better. Less expensive to make every day. And there is a proven model, no matter how lottery ticket-ish it may sound at times, of, you know, someone cobbling together some money, pulling together a crew, and going out and shooting something. And getting that into a festival and selling it, or putting it up on the internet and getting a lot of views and then selling it. I think with television, there is a much more tried and true hierarchy and way to get in. And I always get nervous when somebody's telling me they're going to go out and shoot a spec pilot and spend a lot of money on it. I was just like, you do realize that there's very, very big companies who are developing tons and tons of stuff and have a big backlog of stuff anyway. And that those are the people that, in theory will be staffing the writer's rooms once we're all back to work. So in terms of like who you might take into a meeting with you, I don't think it should be a cast of thousands. Obviously, if you've co-written something or you're a director and you have a writer who's written the script, I think those are two instances where you could take multiple people in. Producers, I think, can come into a pitch, but I don't think you'd ever want to bring more than three people. Because ultimately, it's about the director's vision. And in theory, the material is already a known quantity at that point.
A little bit back to pitching yourself a little bit, because you had mentioned your three shins. Would you dive in a little deeper on those since we have a little time?
I said preparation, presentation, and execution. So preparation, I think we covered pretty well, but I can't emphasize enough that like you should know backwards and forwards, not just the person that you're pitching to or pitching meeting with, but also what their company does. So you're not going to want to get off on the wrong foot. If you're pitching somebody who only makes studio movies and you've got this little indie idea, that's probably not something you're going to bring up in that particular meeting. Presentation just simply means you don't have to dress up. You know, that's one of the great things about our business. Someone said that our work suit is a t-shirt and jeans, and you get dressed up like once a year and it's a tuxedo when that happens. So, but I don't think you want to go into any meeting looking, you know, unprofessional. And then there's how you conduct yourself. Or I should say, be punctual. It's not like you have to be half an hour late. You don't want to appear over eager, but LA and New York especially are not the easiest places in the world to get around in. So be on time. And then on the execution side, it's like, this is where you need to know your material really well. You don't want to over rehearse it, but you are going to want to make sure that you hit certain critical elements. Like, let's make sure we all agreed on the genre, who the main characters are, what does the main character want, what's in their way. Basically kind of show them the poster that you see in your head for the film, or show them the trailer that you see in your head. Again, you don't want to go on too long. You may want a longer version sort of rehearsed in your head, but I don't think your initial pitch should be any longer than 5 minutes. And if they ask you for more, then you delve into that longer version and make sure that you don't exaggerate or bend the truth either. Like, if you don't have financing attached, don't say you do. If you don't have stars attached, don't say you do. Your reputation, as the saying goes, takes a lifetime to create and can be destroyed in a matter of seconds by a bad decision. So anyway, that's sort of a quick rundown on those three things. The one thing I'll also say that I don't mention in that is power of saying thank you. So whether it is a Zoom meeting or whether it's an in-person pitch or something over the phone, anybody who takes the time to hear what you have to say, let alone maybe read your script, which can be a multiple hour commitment, I think deserves to be acknowledged. So even if you mentioned earlier on, Jen, that this particular meeting may not yield anything, but it may put you in a favorable light with someone down the road when they've got a project they think is a better fit for you. So I'm a big believer in handwritten thank you notes. At a minimum, send a thank you email. I'm not a big believer in sending thanks by text. I think that's super flippant and those are easily forgotten. The nice thing about handwritten notes, which isn't always executable, I acknowledge that, but it's, if you think about the last time you got one in the mail, it probably is something that you read first. So I just happened to get one yesterday from somebody I did something nice for, and it made my day. So, and I usually keep them for a while. So if you think about that in the context of trying to make a good impression, you not only make one in the meeting, then you get the opportunity to make one after the meeting, whether or not you get the gig. Can't emphasize enough how important it is to do a follow-up. And if you don't get it, take no with, you know, very respectfully.
And Stu, do you want to tell us more about LunacyU?
The site pretty much speaks for itself, but it's called lunacyu.com is where you can find it. So that's the word lunacy, L-U-N-A-C-Y, and then the letter U, all run together. We have a course on indie financing that Jen just mentioned. We also have a really fun course on music for film and all the nuances, whether it's working with a composer or acquiring the right to use needle drops or pre-recorded songs, or maybe running to record your own version of a song that's already been written. That's all covered in the music class. And I think it's super important for people to be aware of all that before they make a film, especially if it's not like I'm talking about a musical, but if you reference certain songs in your film, almost all of us these days when we make films are thinking of what's playing in the background. So, and then we have a new class coming out early next year on optioning material and sort of playing the whole IP game. So that's what we do over there. Check it out if you get a chance. Appreciate you giving me a moment to tell people about it. It's called LunacyU, by the way, because my production company is named Lunacy and has been since I was in my 20s, which was quite a while ago. And so this is just my educational extension from that.
It's such a great production company name, because I feel like that's our lives in this town. just lunacy.
Thanks for listening to the Working Director Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review as it helps others find the show and helps us keep making great content for you. And if you want even more help with your directing career, check out theworkingdirector.pro, where you can apply to be part of the accelerator that hones in on where you currently are and helps you get to where you want to be. Whether it's this podcast, the accelerator, or our free Facebook community for directors, we're here to help you get to work.